do today, Daf Hey in Pesachim. We're going to start from, Devei Rabbi Yishmo, which is about 8 lines down from the top of Hey Amad Aleph. We're discussing over here, the question of the Gemara is, we all know, even though there's a machlekes, what time you have to stop eating and what time you have to burn the chametz, but everybody agrees that after the 6th hour, chametz is definitely usur. So the question is, how do we know that that's true? Where do we get that from? So the first teretz in the Gemara was based on Abaya, brings two psukim because the pasuk says, Shivas yam sa'arla yamatzi b'vatechem, you're not allowed to have chametz in your house, and then it says, Ach b'yam arishon tashpisa, you have to destroy it before him. So we say, since it can't the occurrence of the destruction can't happen on Pesach itself, so it must be that it's the day before. So now the Gemara is going to go through a number of other terutzim, similar obviously, but slightly different, to also prove the point that the destruction of the chametz has to be before Pesach, obviously, and then also midday. So the Gemara now, starting from about 8 lines down, Devei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, in Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they taught us, Matzinu Yudalit Shenikra Rishon. Yeah, we talk to see that sometimes the 14th is actually called Rishon. So even though the pasuk says Tashpisa Biyam Rishon, it doesn't mean the first day of Pesach. It means the 14th Erev Pesach. Shenema B'Rishon Ba'arba Asur Yom HaChodesh. Very simple, because it's a pasuk that says on the 14th, which is the first day. So the first day over here means the 14th Erev Pesach. That's his answer. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok Amar, he says Rishon Demei Karim Ashmer. No, the word Rishon over here means the first, meaning the day before the first. Why? Because the pasuk, again, similar in a different context, it says Harishon Adam Tolad, that the first man is born. And we all know that man, human beings, were not created first, but rather animals were created before. And so it means before the man was created. So Harishon now means that it means the day before. So to over here, by Pesach, it means the day before. So now the Gemara says, if that's your answer based on the word Harishon, so now, based on that, if that's true, says that you should take your lulav and esrog on the day, on the first Harishon, the first. So Hachanami Rishon Demei Karim Mashma, you're going to tell me that over there also it means the day before that you should be chayav to take your lulav and esrog erev Sukkis. Gemara answers, Shani Hosan Dechsiv Smachtem Asnei Hashem Alekechem Shivas Yomim. You should be Sameach in front of Hashem for 7 days. Now, Ma Shvi, Shvi L'chag, just like the 7 days, the seventh day is on the seventh day of Pesach, so if you're counting 7 days, Aparishon Rishon L'chag, so the first day also has to be on the first day of Sukkot, otherwise you don't get the 7 days. So it's on the first day. So Achanami, so if it's based on that, so even though it says Harishon, it still means the first day, but Pesach also, Ksiv, Ach B'yom Harishon, Tashbisa Shivas Yom, and Matzah Tzeichel, says also you should burn on the first day, and you should eat matzah for the seventh day, for 7 days. So 7 days should include the first day, so the destruction of the chametz should be on the first day of Pesach. Gemara says, M'K Nichtav Kra Rishon. That's true if it would have said Rishon. The difference is, over here it says Harishon Lamali. Why does it use the word Harishon, the first? Shmamina L'kadamar, it must be like we said before, that it means the previous day, Erev Pesach. Okay, so now you're making a distinction between Rishon versus Harishon. So, Iyach Yosam Nami Harishon. Lamali, so then, why by Pesukas, Itaka does say, it uses the part of L'kach L'chem B'yom Harishon. It also uses the word Harishon. So why does it say Harishon over there, by Sukkot? Because it doesn't mean the day before. Vesu, also I ask you another question. Hosam dechsev b'yom harishon Shabbos soin. It says in the pasuk that the first day of Sukkot is like Shabbos, like Yontif. U'v'yom hashmini Shabbos soin. Also the last day of Sukkot is also, the eighth day is also like Shabbos Yontif. So emor rishon demei karim ashma. So again, why don't you say over there also that the Yontif of Sukkot should be the day before Yontif, not on Sukkot itself? The Gemara answers, Shani Hasan Damakro u'v'yom hashmini Shabbos soin, because it compares it to the eighth day. Mashmini shmini dechag. Just like Sukkot, obviously the Yontif part is on the eighth day and not the day before. Afrishon Rishon Dechag, so too we have a comparison to the first day, meaning the first day of Sukkot, not the day before Sukkot. So the Gemara says, then we're back to our original question, Harishon Lamali. So then why do we use the phrase Harishon? So the Gemara answers, L'ma'utei Cholosh Shomayi, to tell us that the days in between the first day and the last day are taka, not on the same level, are Chol Moed and not Yontif. So the Gemara says, that's true, but Cholosh Shomayi Merishon V'Shmini Nafka. But we already learned that from the fact that the pasuk specifically calls it the first and the eighth day, and it doesn't refer to any of the other days in between. So therefore, we already know that the Chol HaMoed is a different period. So the Gemara says, no, Yisroch, we still need to say Harishon, that means the Dafka the first, and not all of them. Why? Because I would have thought, Hoyle the Kos of Rachmanu. Ubayoim Hashmini, because it says Uba Yom Hashmini and the eighth day. Vav Moisav Al Inyan Rishon. I would say it means and inclusive. So it means all the days beforehand and the eighth day. Dafil B'chol Shal Moed. Even the days in between should also be considered Yom Tov Kamash Malon. So that's why he has to say no. It means the first and the last, to tell us that only the first and only the last days of the Yom Tov part, the middle days, are Chol Moed. The Gemara says that's a very nice drasha. However, so you're saying the whole reason why we need Harishain is to tell us that it doesn't mean the middle days, because otherwise I would have thought that middle days are included. Why? Because it says Ubayan Harishain Devav. So fine. So don't give me a drasha that makes it sound like they are included to require me to need a drasha to tell us that the days are not included. Just don't say the whole, don't start me off, and then I won't need to get out of the problem. That's another question. So again, the Harishon over here really wasn't extra, because it doesn't sound like we needed that drasha just to create a problem, to undo the problem. The Su, and a third question. Hasam dechsev v'yom Harishon mikra kodesh yelachem. Also by Sukkot it says that on the first day of Sukkot is going to be called kodesh. Rishon, again, so again, you're calling it on the first day, Rishon demei karam ashma. Once again, according to your pshat, it should mean the day before Sukkot should be kodesh. So again, all these harishines, these three harishines, don't seem to be consistent with your drasha that the word harishin always means the day before. So the Gemara says, really, according to the way the Rishonim learned, very interesting, really, the word harishin by us is taka to teach us the day before. And any time the Torah uses the word harishin, it in fact means the day, it means to tell us something different than just rishin plain. It means harishin, the day before. So, however, these harishans don't mean the day before, they mean a different drasha. Hanish loisha rishan mibayile lekazitane devei Rabbi Shmuel. These harishans are definitely for a drasha, but to teach us a different kind of drasha. For what Rabbi Shmuel taught us, Tatane devei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel taught us the following. B'schash loisha rishan, by the fact that Klal Yisrael kept these first days of Yantif, or these references in the Torah, to rishan zachal loisha rishan, we also are zoichet to three other tzchusim that happened that will happen once. V'hachris zarish al Esav. First of all, when Mashiach comes, we'll get rid of Esav. L'binya beis hamikdash, will be building the beis hamikdash. U'lishmoy shal Mashiach, and the fact that we'll be zoichet to Mashiach to redeem us. V'hachris zarish al Esav. Where do we see in the pasuk that the Rishon concept applies to getting rid of Esav? D'chsiv v'yotza harishon admoini kuloi ka'aderes at Esav seir. That Esav was referred to the first harishon, and he was right ka'aderes seir. He was all red and hairy. So, but the point is that that's referring to Esav, and then that's chus that we keep Yontif, we'll get rid of Esav. Linya Beis HaMikdash, again, this is a place, where do we see the Beis HaMikdash? It was referred to Rishon Tachsiv, Kisei Kavod Maroim, Mei Rishon, Makai Mikdashenu. That from the Rishon, that will be where we will be able to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, also because in the schus, the Marshal explains in the schus, the fact that we're Sameach with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give us a place that He comes and joins us in our Simcha. And similarly, the same concept, L'shmoy Shal Mashiach, where do we see Mashiach is called Rishon Tachsiv, Rishon L'tzion Hinei Yinam, that Mashiach is going to come first to Eretz Yisrael. In any event, so the Harishans over here are referring to three different inyanim, and the Harishan by us doesn't have an extra drasha, so it must mean Harishan to mean the day before Pesach, the destruction occurs, and not on Pesach itself. That's the third teretz of the Gemara. Rav Omar, a fourth teretz of the Gemara, says, Mehacha, from the following drasha, L'sishchad al-chametz, Dam Zivchi. You're not allowed to shecht your chametz Pesach when you still have chametz in the house. So we dash on loisishchad Pesach v'dayin chametz kaim. You can't shecht if you still have chametz. So, and since we know that you have to shecht the carbon Pesach, obviously erev Pesach, so too you can't have chametz on erev Pesach. So the Gemara says, okay, that's fine. That it has to be done at some point on erev Pesach. V'hem kol chad v'chad kishachet zman kishachet. So maybe each person should be obligated to get rid of the chametz at his time, whenever he shechts. That's when he gets rid of the chametz. Our answer is Zman Shechita Amar Rachmano at the time of Shechita. In other words, when Shechita is available, when it's time and appropriate to do a carbon, that's when the chametz has to be done. We don't set a time for each person, but rather the time that the Torah sets is the time that the chametz has to be gone. Tanya Namiach, we also learned a similar drasha. Ach b'yom arishon tashpisu sa'armi batechem. They have to get rid of the chametz on the first day. May erev yontif. So it has to be on Erev Yom Tov Pesach. Maybe you can have a half a minute to think that it can be done on Pesach itself. That's why the pasuk says, no, you can't have chametz. You can't have chametz with when you shech the carbon Pesach. So since that has to occur Erev Pesach, so to the destruction of the chametz has to occur Erev Pesach. That's a fourth pshat. Divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Sorry, that's Rabbi Shmuel's part. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva says the fifth pshat. You don't need that drasha. Why? The pasuk says, says that you have to get rid of it on the first day, the ksiv, but it also says by on Yontif, kol melacha lo yisasu, you're not allowed to do any melacha on Pesach, any unnecessary melacha, but shaloi letzayrich, umatzina lahavar shu'ab melacha, and burning stam with shaloi letzayrich would be considered an av melacha that you're not allowed to do. So since you can't do the burning according to the Torah on Pesach itself, it must be that the burning occurs erev Pesach. Rabbi Yossi Yomer, Einoi Tzarech. Rabbi Yossi says, no, you don't even need that Rasha. Harehu Yomer, Ach B'Yomer Rishon Tashpish Tzar Mevatech. Again, you have to get rid of the Chometz erev Pesach. Me erev Yontif, it has to be done erev Yontif. Vayin erev Yontif, maybe, in fact, you can get rid of it on Yontif itself. Talmud Yomer, Ach Cholok. So this goes back, it has to be that the day itself that you get rid of the Chometz, part of that day is Mutter, and part of that day is Osir. Now, the Ibi Yontif Atzmai Mishari, if you have to get rid of the chametz on Erev Pesach, is it possible that there's no point on Pesach that it would be mutter? Because immediately, since you have to eat matzah, immediately the chiyuv starts, as soon as the time starts, as soon as Pesach starts, so there is no time when you could have the chametz lying around. So therefore, it has to be on a day when part of the chametz is mutter, and that must be Erev Pesach, that half the day is mutter, half the day is asur. So just to finish the Gemara itself, if you're talking about destroying the chametz on Pesach itself, Mishari, we already said before that you have to compare the timing for getting rid of the chametz happens, can't be around when you have to eat, is similar to the time that you can eat the chametz, and the time that you're restricted from eating chametz is the same time as you are allowed to eat matzah, and since you have to eat, you can eat matzah right away, so as we explained, so too, you have to get rid of the chametz before that time occurs. So the only way to split the day that makes it partially mutter and partially yasser is to have the destruction of the chametz on Erev Pesach. Now, going back to Rabbi Akiva's point, Amar Rava, Shema Minami Rabbi Akiva, based on what Rabbi Akiva says, his drasha was the fact that it's also to burn chametz on Yontif, so it must occur Erev Yontif. So based on what Rabbi Akiva says, we learn three things. Shema Mino, Ain't be your chametz elisrei. So there's going to be a machlokes later how you get rid of the chametz, whether it's any way you get rid of it, or it has to be dafka burning. So by the fact that Rabbi Akiva is worried and concerned about the av melacha of burning, it must be that his only way to get rid of it would be burning, because otherwise you'd be able to do it on yontif. The shmami no havar lechalik yasa. There's also a machlokes the fact that burning on Shabbos, the isser of melacha of burning, is actually a separate place. It's mentioned separately in the Torah from all the other melachos. Or general from the general malachas of Shabbos. So there's a machlokes in the Gemara between Rav Nosson and Tanna Kamma why the Torah separated it out in a different location. According to one man, the Omar, it's to tell us that in fact that Havara, burning a fire on Shabbos, is not the same Isser as everything else. It's a separate lav. It's not the Chiyuv Karis like everything else. But Nosson Darshan's, no, Punk Faket, he says that the Drasha is that, because you would have thought that since all the malachas are really clumped together, the Torah doesn't illustrate and iterate each one of the malachas separately. It just says there are malachas. Now you would think if I did multiple malachas on one Shabbos, I should only be chayav one chayav chata, because I did many in one shot. So that's why the Torah has to say, by the way, just like havara, just like burning is a separate malacha, it's independent of anything else, so too all the other 39 or 38 malachas are also independent of any of the other malachas. And they're all separate Isurim in the Torah. And that's, so L'chalik Yotzes. That's the other thing. In other words, obviously, if you hold it, it's only coming to tell us that it's a lav, then once again, Rabbi Akiva wouldn't have this problem over here because we'd have a Seder Chalusa say. So it has to be that he holds that it's coming to tell us that you get a separate Isurim for each one of the other Malachas. The Shmami know, and the third thing we learn, Loyamar and Hoyol, Hutra Havar Lutzach, Hutra Namish Lutzach. And we don't say the concept on Yotzef of Hoyol, according to Rabbi Akiva, that we rely on Hoyol in many respects, but Rabbi Akiva says you don't. Meaning, once a certain malacha is mutter, when it's needed for the sake of Yontif, and there are definitely malachas like cooking, for example, that are mutter on Yontif, so we would say, there's a sheet in the Gemara that says that, well, if it's mutter when you need it, so then I guess the Torah didn't answer that one when it came to Yontif, and it's even mutter when you don't need it. But the fact that Rabbi Akiva once again says that you can't burn the chametz on Yontif is a raya that he holds that it's usher even when you don't need it, or especially when you don't need it, because clearly it's mutter when you need it. Everybody agrees you're allowed to cook and make a fire for the sake of cooking on Yontif. And even so, Rabbi Akiva says, if it wasn't needed, i.e. for burning the chametz, it would not be permitted, but that's the basis of his drasha, so he does not hold of mitoich that it, since it's mutter for one sake, you're going to allow it for the sake of other circumstances as well. Okay, so those are the five terutzim that the Gemara gives of how we know that the chametz has to be burned on Erev Pesach, and some of them also are more specific as to the timing that it has to be after the sixth hour. Now, the Gemara gives the next couple, 10-15 lines of the Gemara are a braisa that the Gemara is going to explain further as the Gemara continues. But here's the braisa, a very important concept. Tana Rabbanan. Shivas yamas ha'or la'yimot v'vatechem. Obviously, you're not allowed to find chametz, or is yeast. You're not allowed to find that in your house on Pesach. Ma tamad loimer, why does the Pasuk have to tell us you're not allowed to find it in your house? I like Tzar Nemar, it already says in the Pasuk, la'yir l'cha, la'yir l'cha, says you now have to find the chametz anywhere in your boundaries. So why do we need this pasuk of in your house for? So the Gemara says, so since it says in the pasuk you now have to see the yeast, the chametz, shacha yataroya. So we darshan you now have to see your own chametz is a problem. You're allowed to see if the chametz belongs to somebody else, and as we'll see, it's not your problem. Then it's mutter, but also if it belongs to Hekdesh, it's not my problem, it's not mine, so it's allowed to be in my house. Now, if that's true, Yachal Yachman, maybe I can hide it, the Yachal Yikabal Tekdoinis Ben Anachu, or I can hold on to a collateral, I can hold on as a mashkin to somebody else as a goy's object, I might think that's mutter because I have it in my house. No, I'm not allowed to find it at all. Okay, so, I'm not allowed to have that either. Aimli Ella Benachri Shalei Kivshasai. I might think that the only time, this is the first way the Gemara thinks the Brice has learned, I might think that the only time it's usher to hold on to a guy's object is if he does not live with me, if he's not under my control and he doesn't live with me in a chatzar. How do I know if he does live with me and he is under my control, how do we know that it's also usher? Tell us that it can't be found in my house under any circumstances whatsoever, it's going to be completely usher. Now, and the other Shabbatechem. That only teaches because we're dashing all this in the pasuk of in my house. It's also, so I only know that it's also to do this in my house. How do I know in my caves and my ditches outside of my house, how do I know that the Yisra also applies? That's why I have the second pasuk, b'chol gavulcha, that anywhere in my borders it's going to be also equally as if it's in my house. But I still, I can say, maybe in my house I'm over. That I'm not allowed to see it, I'm not allowed to find it, about Yatsin, about Yikal, but I can't even take someone else's objects. The Gvulin, in my boundaries, Shachoya Taroya, Avalataroya, Shalachirin, Vishalgavoya, Minayin. Fine, Shalgavoya. So that's why I need the Pasuk, the Gvulin, to tell us that, and also, the Gvulin, also we learn from the second Pasuk that anywhere in my property, I'm not allowed to have my own property, but I'm allowed to take, if it does belong to somebody else, and it does belong to Hekdesh, it's mutter. That's what the second pasuk teaches us. However, minayin litan es ha'omer shal zeh bezeh, v'shal zeh bezeh. How do we know that the heter that applies to gvulin applies in my house, and how do we know the isra that applies in my house also applies out in the boundaries? That's why the pasuk has to tie the two together. The fact that the Torah uses the same word in both psukim has come to tell us that the same isra applies in my house as it applies to the borders, and the same heter of having other people's objects in my fields is equally mutter in my house. Why? Because nemar sa'ar b'vatim, it says the word sa'ar in the pasuk with batim, it says sa'ar lo yimatsu b'vatechem. The nemar sa'ar b'gvulin, it also says the word sa'ar by the boundaries. It says lo yir l'cha sa'ar. It says you can't see sa'ar at all. Ma sa'ar ha'amar b'vatim, oivir mishim bal yirah bal yimatsay. So just like when it says in your house you're not allowed to have your own chepet, you can't even hide it, val yatsman, you can't hide it, val yikabal b'kdoinos min anachri, and you can't receive collateral from a guy, so too, now we can apply it after Amar b'gvulin, over mishon val yirah val yimotzeh, so too in your boundaries also, you're not allowed to see it, you're not allowed to find it, val yatsman, you can't hide it, val yikabal b'kdoinos min anachri, and you can't receive collateral from a guy. And similarly, the flip side, umasar Amar b'gvulin, and so too the yeast that I have in my boundaries, we limited but I could have other people, other goyim's objects or Hektish's objects. So so too, now that I made the comparison, I say also in my house also it's limited, I'm not allowed to see my own chametz, but I could find if it belongs to somebody else, it belongs to a guy, or it belongs to a Hektish, that's not going to be a problem even in my own house. Okay, that's the Braisa basically telling us that I can't have it in any way, if it's mine, any way, form, or fashion in my house. But if it belongs to somebody else or a guy, it's not a problem. A guy or heck, it's not a problem. And the other way also, and it also applies throughout my entire property, not just in my own house. Now the Gemara is going to take the Braisa and explain it a little bit more. Omar, we learned before. So first of all, we said that the Isra only applies, we only know that the Isra applies if the guy does not live with me, it's not under my control. And then the Gemara says, but a guy that I did capture, Vishariyam Chabachotzer, is living with me. How do I know that that's also also the time of Lomer Lo Yimotzer? That's why the Pasuk has to tell us that that is also included in the Isra, that he's not allowed, I'm not allowed to see his Chometz. So Klapei Laya. So where is this headed? Meaning, this is backwards, logically. If I'm not allowed to see the Chometz of a guy that I have no Shaychus to, that I have nothing to do with, certainly I'm not allowed to see the Chometz of a guy that I do control. This Braisa doesn't make sense. It's not a Chiddush. So the Gemara says, very simple, Amar Abaya, Epoch, so switch it around. What the Braisa meant to say was the logical way. Meaning, I know that it's also if I have something to do with the guy. How do I know that it's also, even if I have nothing to do with him, how do I know the Isra also applies? Okay, Talmud Lever, that's why the Pasuk tells us that it applies even to Goyim that I have nothing to do with. If they give it to me, it's a problem. That's the first test of the Gemara. Rova Omar Lo Elu Moy Tepach. No, don't flip it around. Really, the Braisa does make sense as it says. However, it's not going on the chiddush of telling us that it's aser v'areisha koyv. Rather, it's going on the case to tell us that when it's mutter, meaning shalcha yataroya, when it's yours, you're not allowed to see it. Avalataroya shalachem shal gavoya, but if it belongs to a goy or a hektish, it's mutter. Here, and this is how to read the brisa. That's only talking about I can keep it if it's not mine because I have no, as the guy is not in the, under my control by Inshariyam Chabachotzer, is not living with me. That's why I'm allowed to keep it. However, how do I know that if the guy is living with me and he's under my control, how do I know that even that's mutter? Oh, Tamavonimotzer. Now it has to say a pasuk to tell Tamavonimotzer that it's going to be mutter even if it's even though the guy is living in my house. So the Gemara says, "V'hai tana mahadra atayra." But now, what's the point according to Rava? The point of the Braisa is to teach us that it's mutter even the guy is living with me. So it's coming to tell us that it's mutter. So it's looking, the Braisa is teaching us a heter. V'nosiv lo kra li'isura, but it brings the pasuk. What pasuk does it bring? It brings the pasuk of lo yimotze. The purpose of the pasuk of lo yimotze is to teach us what's aser. So it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to teach us to use that pasuk. It's the wrong, so to speak, the wrong pasuk for that purpose. So the Gemara says, "Mishum shenema lecha lecha treizimni," because the pasuk says "lo yimata lecha." In one pasuk, in the first time it repeats it, also by gvulon lecha, it also says lecha. There was an extra drasha, and Rashi explains that because the extra drasha is coming to tell us, "Anacharami, you're right. It is would be usher, but limited only if it's yours." And that's why, because of the fact that the pasuk makes a point of limiting it to the iser only if it's yours, we can understand and derive from that. That if it's not mine, it's going to be mutter. Okay, that's the first drasha. So the way Rava learns it is to teach us that even the guy that's living with you, if it's not my chametz, it's going to be mutter. The next part of the braisa says Amar Mar. We also learned before Yochel Yatam Yitalavik Zanis Ben Anachri. You might think that you're able to accept collateral from a guy. Tamar Loimer Lo Yimotzer, that if it's mine in any way, I can find it in my house. It's going to be aser. So the Gemara says Amar Reisha. But that's a contradiction. Here we're saying that I'm not allowed to take collateral from a goy. But the Reisha just said just the opposite. Ha'amat Reisha, the Reisha says, Shalcha yataroya, avalataroya shalachayim shalgavaya. I am allowed to see chametz that belongs to a goy. So is it mutter for me to take it, or is it usher for me to take it? So the Gemara answers like Kasha, it's not a contradiction. It depends on whether I become responsible to watch and guard the chametz. If the guy just happens, that we'll see more expanded later in Daf Vav, but if the guy just happens to have chametz in my house that I have nothing to do with it, so then that's fine. It's not my responsibility, it's not my problem, it's going to be mutter. However, if it is going to be my problem, if it's going to be my responsibility, then anachanami, if I'm responsible for it, then I'm not allowed to take it. Where do we see this concept? A similar concept, ki hada amel hu rava, l'bnei mechuza, rava, who was the rav of the city of Mechuza, told his congregants in the city of Mechuza, Iru chamira de bnei chelo, destroy the chametz that belongs to the army and b'otechu from your houses. In other words, in those, the way the army used to support itself is the army used to require that the people living in the town that the army is protecting are obligated to feed the army, to feed the soldiers. So the soldiers used to come and leave their food in the house. And of course, the soldiers aren't going to eat matzah. The soldiers are going to have chametz. So they're going to. He said, you have to get rid of that chametz from your house. Why? And here's the concept. Kiven de ilum ignov, because if that food, if the soldier's food was stolen, the ilum istvid, or it was lost, it would be in your reshus, meaning it would be your responsibility. Ubeisa l'shlume kidulchayn dami. And you, ubeisa l'shlume, meaning you'd have to pay for it, kidulchayn dami, and therefore it's considered like yours, but also, and therefore it's also. So in other words, Rav is saying, the concept is that since I'm responsible for it, it's as if it's coming off my paycheck, so I'm responsible for it, so that's why I have to destroy it. But anachanami, if it's not my responsibility, it's the guy's thing that happens to be in my house, it's not a problem. The Gemara takes this one step further. That makes sense if you hold like the Mandi Yomar. There's a machlokes about this. Whether if I'm not actually, it's not really my money. It's just as the result of the loss, it's going to become my responsibility. So if that already is considered like money, I have to view this thing that could cause me a loss. I have to view it already as if it's a loss. So I understand over here also, the chametz could cause me a loss if I get rid of it, so it's already considered mine even before I destroyed it. So therefore, I'm responsible for it. But according to the Mandi Yomar, that says it's not my money, it's not my responsibility until something happens. So right now, it's the guy's property. How do you explain over here why over here I have to get rid of the guy's chametz? So the Gemara answers, Shani Hachad Amar Lo Yimotze. The Pasuk says Lo Yimotze can't be found, and the Pasuk is very inclusive. It includes extra things. So it includes the case of that I'm not allowed to destroy, that I can't have the guy's responsibilities on any level whatsoever, and therefore it's a special pasuk to tell us that even though it's not my money, it's still my responsibility and I have to get rid of it. That's one version of the way to repeat this Gemara. Ikadami, another version is, you can say just the opposite. I understand this Gemara, this drasha, according to the Mandiyama, that it's really not my responsibility. So now, now I understand why the pasuk says, even though it's not my responsibility, I'm still going to be chayav to get rid of it because the pasuk says lo yamati. But according to the Mandi Yomar that says that it is considered my money, so lo yamati lamali. So what do I need the pasuk for? Of course, it's my money. It's my chametz. So of course I have to get rid of it. So I don't need an extra pasuk. The Gemara says itzrich. No, I do need the pasuk. It is a chiddush over here also. Why sakat ad chamina hayol beichi isa hader be'enei. So since if the chametz was around, I would just return it to the guy as is. So I would think, well, listen, it's not my chametz. He took back his own object. It never became mine. It never ended up becoming my responsibility. So maybe Taka, I shouldn't be responsible for it. Kamash Malon, that's what the pasuk has to tell us. That even though potentially it has the ability of not becoming my responsibility, but the fact that it could, on the other hand, become my responsibility, that's enough to make it in my reshus and to make it usur for me to have on Pesach, and I'm going to destroy it. So the answer of the Gemara is that, I can have something of a goyis, as we'll see again further in the Gemara explains, if I have no responsibility for it whatsoever. So then it's the fact that it happens to be in my house, it's not going to be an issue. However, if it is in my house, and I do have responsibility for it, then anachanami, I am going to be responsible for it, and therefore I have to get rid of it on Pesach.